He conquered more territory by age 30 than most empires accumulate in centuries. Yet the man who built that empire died at 32, in a borrowed palace, without naming a successor. Alexander III of Macedon was born in 356 BCE at Pella, the capital of ancient Macedonia, the son of King Philip II and Queen Olympias. Philip was already one of the ancient world's most formidable military architects. That fact alone is the key to understanding everything Alexander did, and why it was never enough. Think of a son raised in the shadow of a titan. Philip II had transformed Macedonia from a fragile kingdom into the dominant power in Greece. He handed Alexander not just a throne, but a professional, battle-hardened army and a strategic playbook. From approximately age 13 to 16, Alexander was educated by Aristotle, who shaped his thinking across philosophy, medicine, literature, and scientific inquiry. Aristotle's emphasis on the heroic ideal, the idea that a great man must surpass all predecessors, didn't just inspire Alexander, Robert. It became an obsession. At 16, Alexander was already governing Macedonia, while Philip campaigned at Byzantium. At 18, he helped Philip crush the allied Greek states at the Battle of Chaeronea in 338 BCE. He wasn't learning to be a king, he was already acting like one. Then, in 336 BCE, Philip was assassinated. Alexander became king of Macedon at roughly age 20. The titan was gone. Now the son had to become something larger. The speed of what followed is staggering. Alexander secured his throne by eliminating rivals and reasserting control over the Greek states. In 335 BCE, he destroyed much of Thebes after it revolted, though he spared its temples and the house associated with the poet Pindar, a calculated act that mixed terror with cultural respect. In 334 BCE, he crossed the Hellespont into Asia and launched his invasion of the Achaemenid Persian Empire. He won his first major Asian battle at the Granicus River that same year. At Issus, in 333 BCE, he defeated the Persian king Darius III directly. By 332 BCE, he had captured the Phoenician city of Tyre after a lengthy siege and entered Egypt, where he was welcomed as a liberator and founded the city of Alexandria. The decisive blow came at Gagamela in 331 BCE. That battle broke the military power of the Achaemenid Empire entirely. Alexander adopted the title King of Asia and seized the imperial centers Babylon, Susa, Persepolis. Now, Robert, here is where the psychology becomes fascinating. He had won. The stated mission was complete. He kept going. The ancient Greeks had a word for this, pothos. It means a longing, a yearning for something just beyond reach. Ancient sources suggest Alexander was driven by it relentlessly. He pushed through Central Asia between 331 and 329 BCE, facing prolonged resistance across brutal terrain. In 326 BCE, he defeated King Porus at the Battle of the Hydaspes River in the Punjab. His army had marched to the edge of the known world. Then they stopped, not because Alexander wanted to, but because his troops mutinied at the Hyphus River and refused to advance farther east. For a man driven by pothos, that refusal must have been a particular kind of agony. The return journey was catastrophic. His army suffered severe losses, crossing the Gedrosian Desert. At Susa in 324 BCE, he arranged a mass wedding linking Macedonian soldiers with Persian women, a bold attempt to fuse two civilizations into one ruling people. He was still building, still reaching. He died in Babylon in June 323 BCE, after a short illness, before a planned expedition into Arabia could begin. He left no clear adult successor. His empire, one of the largest the ancient world had known, fractured almost immediately into rival kingdoms ruled by his former generals. The takeaway here is precise, and it matters for how you understand every historical biography that follows. Alexander's impact didn't come from genius alone. It emerged from a specific convergence, elite mentorship under Aristotle, an inherited military machine built by Philip II, and a psychological drive, pathos, that made stopping feel like failure. The Hellenistic world he created, blending Greek, Egyptian, Persian, Central Asian, and South Asian traditions, reshaped civilization for centuries. But the man at its center could never enjoy what he built. The burden of eternal ambition is that the destination always disappears the moment you arrive,